John, I'm going to go to a couple places. I'll start in Matthew, but I'll mainly be in the book of John. And I'll pray. Father, thank you for today. God, thank you for everybody in this room. Thank you for those that are watching online. Thank you for our church community, Lord. And we just pray for your blessing upon this house and for your covering and your grace upon this house. Holy Spirit, be with us today. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing. We love you, Lord. We worship you. We honor you. I pray you would anoint this message. I ask you to speak to our hearts and bless this time in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 So I want to talk about Jesus. I felt like that was a good thing to talk about. You know, as we get close to Easter and we come into Resurrection Sunday, I just always love every year. I love kind of preparing my heart and leaning into this and being intentional with Scripture and my heart towards the Lord. And I just want to talk about who Jesus is. And so just say that with me. Say, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And Jesus actually has a lot to say about who he is, and we'll dive into that. But I want to start with a scripture actually in Matthew. There's this great portion of scripture in the book of Matthew chapter 16, and it says, when Jesus came to the region of Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man. So they say, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Say, who do you say that I am? I think that's the age-old question. That's the question that's been asked for 2,000 years. That's the question that religions and cultures have asked. Who is Jesus? And everybody comes up with their own answer and their own slant. It's like, oh, he was an amazing teacher. Oh, he was a prophet. Oh, he was a revolutionary. Oh, he was this, he was that. I mean, even 2,000 years ago, they're saying the same thing. Well, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, some say you're a prophet, you're this, you're that. And so I think this is this age-old question that's always going to be asked in our culture. Who is Jesus to us? And I love that it's like, we know what culture says, we know what the crowd says, we know what everybody around the disciples are saying, but I love that he asks his disciple and he asks his friend. And he's like, but who do you say that I am, Peter? I know what they're saying, but who am I to you? And I think we all have to wrestle with this, not wrestle with it, but maybe we have to get clarity in our hearts and our minds who Jesus is to us, right? And what did Jesus say? He had a lot to say who he was throughout the Gospels. He said some powerful statements. He would say, I am the door. He would say, I am the gate. He would say, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He would say, I am the good shepherd. He said, I am the light of the world. And he said, I am the vine. These are all Jesus' words. And I wanted to just take a couple weeks as we come into this Easter season, and I just want to lean into this a little bit of who Jesus is and these powerful names, these powerful attributes and characteristics that Jesus says he is. And I believe it will help us collectively just lean into this a little better and maybe just get a better glimpse of who Christ is in our story And so with that, I want to start in John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And this is one of my favorite chapters in the book of John. I love this chapter. It's the story of Lazarus. And this statement that I want to hone in on and focus for just a couple minutes is what Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. That's a powerful statement. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Let's read a few verses. It says in John chapter 11, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. I just love this whole portion of Scripture. It's just so powerful to me. But it also just, I can relate on so many levels in life, because I feel like we all go through life, right? Sometimes we get hit hard and we just got like an uppercut to the jaw and you don't know what's going on. And I feel like kind of this is where they're at. They're in this moment like, gosh, what do we do? These were the friends of Jesus. She just anointed his feet with oil. And they say, here lies the one that you love, and now he is sick. And so it seemed like an impossible situation. And I know I've had some impossible situations in my life, or what seemed to be impossible in the moment, or I've had some hard seasons or some painful seasons. And you can look at different areas of your own heart. It's like your loved one, that's sick, right? And that is incredibly difficult when you've done everything that you know to do, when you've prayed everything that you know to pray, when you've stood on every scripture you know to stand on, and it's not shifting, it's not moving as fast as you want. It can be a little discouraging. Maybe it's the person that loses their dream job. Like, that's can be painful. It's your marriage that's in shambles. It's a friendship that is ending. It's just dead. And you're like, why did this happen? You know, I could relate on all these levels. It's the sickness. It's happened in our family, right? My mom and obviously my daughter. And I think that's probably the hardest thing that Heather and I have walked through, just things with our children. And with Gia, it's like there's nothing more painful and there's nothing that hits your heart more than to watch your children suffer and to watch them be in excruciating pain, and you don't know what to do except pray, which is the best thing to do. But when there's no relief coming to their eyes and their face, it breaks your heart. And so we've said that very thing, you know, like to the Lord, like, God, like, the one you love, the one we love, Gia, our daughter, she's sick. Like, Lord, you got to help us. You got to intervene here, right? So we can all relate to this situation in some way, fashion, or form, I believe. The one you love is sick, right? But I love this because you take a greater look at this story of Lazarus, and it's so powerful because even right from the get-go, like, you study it out and you look at his name, Lazarus. And his name Lazarus actually means the one that God helps. The one that God helps. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I've felt like a Lazarus in life. And sometimes I feel like, man, I just feel dead. And I feel like I've just been put in a tomb and I've been dead for 4 days. But maybe you felt that way too. But God is saying, I am here to help you. I am here to change your situation, right? It's a powerful story. So, okay, let's continue to read. When Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after, he said to the disciples, "Let us go again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. Are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said after that. He said, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." And the disciples said, "Lord, if he's asleep, he's going to get better." They're not getting it. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking a nap. Then Jesus said to him plainly, "Lazarus is dead." "Oh, okay, gotcha. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." So Jesus is saying a lot right here. And I feel like nobody, none of the disciples, nobody that's in the crowd is really understanding what he's saying. They're not understanding verse 4, that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified. And he's saying, "I'm glad that for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go. He's dead." So they're just like, they don't know, they don't understand the situation. And I feel like a lot of people in this particular passage and story are starting to feel like it's a dead end. Like it's a hopeless situation and they don't know what to do. And even Thomas starts, there's three characters I want to look at. Thomas and Mary and Martha. And I feel like all of them, to some degree, begin to lose hope and begin to lose heart and felt like this situation was a dead end. But anything that seems like a dead end, I feel like all we have to do is adjust our focus back to Jesus. Adjust our heart back to the King of Kings, right? It's never a dead end. It's a new beginning. Amen. And this is exactly what's happening. He's telling him, like he's sharing his heart. This is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And so then he's, listen to this, listen to Thomas. You got to love Thomas. Verse 16, he says, "Then Thomas, who is called the twin, says to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.'" And he's not getting it. Why is he not getting it? Because he is looking at this through the lens of unbelief and doubt. And I feel like sometimes things happen in our hearts and things happen in our families, things happen in our children, and it could feel like a dead end. And the dead end is because there is so much doubt in our heart. And it leads us to a dead end. Like there's nothing else can happen on this road. So we're like, he's like, "I'm going to make this faith statement. Let's go die with him." And Jesus is like, "That's not what I'm talking about, Thomas, at all." But we all have doubts sometimes. We all have doubts in our heart, and we all have had spiritual doubts. And spiritual doubts can come when we have prayed about something, when we have believed for something so much, and yet you don't see a breakthrough. And you don't see anything happening yet. And if you're not careful, that could cause a bit of bitterness. It could cause a bit of fear. It could cause a bit of doubting the Lord. And I think this is where Thomas found himself multiple times. But he's doubting, and his doubting and fear is leading him to a dead end. And I think if we're ever in a moment where we have our heart is full of unbelief, our heart is full of fear and doubt, what do you have to do? You have to recalibrate. You have to pivot and focus back on Jesus. Remember the character. Remember the heart of Christ. Remember the character of Christ. Remember the nature of Christ. Remember who he is in your story. That's all you got to do. Look to Jesus. Amen. The author and the finisher of our faith. So Thomas was dead in his doubts. And we continue to read, and it goes on and begins to talk more about the sisters. It says in verse 19, "And many of the Jews joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. To Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house." So we have Thomas in verse 16 that is full of unbelief and he's full of doubt. And now we have Mary. She's being comforted by multiple women and people in the community. She's weeping. She's sad. And she refuses to go out to see Jesus when he's coming into town. Interesting. Why is she refusing to go out? Because she's incredibly disappointed. She's discouraged. And she's incredibly sad. She just lost her brother. And she's seen. The Bible says in verse 2, this was the same Mary who just anointed his feet with oil. Like, she's just given him this amazing sacrifice and offering of worship, and she's seen Jesus do the miraculous. She's witnessed it with her own eyes, and now her brother, who needs a miracle, has not received one yet. So she's incredibly sad, she's disappointed, she's frustrated, and she says, I'm staying in the house. I'm not going out to meet him. And I feel like this can happen very easily. We can find ourselves in a dead end of discouragement. There's a delay, there's discouragement, there's doubting and unbelief, and discouragement will grip your heart very strong if you're not careful. Right? How many of us have ever been disappointed or discouraged? Right? We can be discouraged over a number of things. We can be discouraged, like, you beat yourself up. You're like, man, I am super discouraged in my parenting. I'm super discouraged with where my child's at or where my child is not at. And you're discouraged over maybe a prophetic word that's not coming to pass, a promise that's not being fulfilled, a dream that you've held on to for years and years and years, and now it just kind of seems like it's dead. It's dying. You don't know what to do, and it could cause great discouragement in our hearts when these things happen. And this is where Mary was, right? She was sad. She's being comforted. And I want to remind you of a scripture in Proverbs. It says, Proverbs chapter 13. In verse 12, it says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. And so we cannot, no matter what's happening, no matter what's happening in my life, no matter what's happening in your life, you have to make a conscious decision to not camp out in discouragement. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I love that because he says, I'm walking through. It doesn't say, "Yea, though I camp out in the shadow of death." "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I have to make a decision daily that I am not going to camp out in discouragement, no matter if the prayers are answered or not answered, no matter if I see breakthrough or I don't see breakthrough. I have to keep trusting Jesus. I have to keep moving forward because he's the faithful one. He is the only one that can part the Red Sea. He's the only one that can cause dead things to come alive. And I have to focus my attention, my heart, my gaze upon Jesus, right? And I love this because we can look at this story. We're like, guys, it's about to get so good. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't lose heart. But when you're in the middle of it, like when you're in process, when you're in that pause, what seems like a delay, it's like it feels like everything's being thrown at you. And this is when God's saying, just trust me. Just stand on my word. Believe that I am who I say I am. Amen? And so Thomas has doubts. Mary has Discouragement. I think that's a big one we have to overcome is discouragement. There's lots of discouragement in the world and in the church. But we come to her sister Martha. And it says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and she met him. Martha was sitting in the house. And then in verse 21 it says, now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's an interesting statement to say to Jesus. If you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And I feel like she's in this in the middle, in the delay, if you will, and in the process, in the middle of the process. Sometimes when we're in the middle of the process, we cannot see clearly, and we're like, man, if you would have been here, this could have happened. If this would have happened, you know, whatever. You fill in the blank for your own life. It's like, man, I'm such and such years old. I should be married by now. I should have kids. Or to the woman who can't have kids, like, I've prayed and I've believed, and why have you not opened my womb, right? Why, it's when we've believed and we've prayed for somebody to be healed. I've prayed. Why isn't this person being healed? There's all these things that we can chalk up as, Lord, if you would have been here. But I just want to remind us that sometimes there's delays in life, but a delay from the Lord is not a denial from the Lord. Just because there's a delay does not mean it's a denial. This doesn't mean it's not happening. Doesn't mean there's not a shift that's on the way, on the horizon. Amen. And delays are not a bad thing. It just means you're right in the middle of the story. You're right in the middle of the process. And don't lose heart again, right? Come on, don't become bitter. Don't become angry. Don't become frustrated. Come on. And I'm so glad that Martha didn't stay here. She didn't stay pointing the finger. Well, if you would have come, Jesus, he would have been healed. He would have been better. Things would have been different. I love that she quickly pivots and she says, listen, in 22, but even now, I know whatever you ask of God, he will give you. Come on, may we have a heart like that. May we have a heart like that. And Jesus says in verse 23, your brother will live again. And she does, she's not registering. And she says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Right? So she feels too with her sister, with Thomas. They all feel like Lazarus is dead. There's no hope for him. His story has ended. She's trying to adjust and pivot her heart to say, like, I know that he'll be with you in the resurrection. I know that good will come out of this. But he says this in verse 25. Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He says. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Thank you, Jesus. That's so powerful. And this reminds me, as we lean in, as we get ready and prepare our hearts for Easter, this reminds me that the resurrection is not an event. The resurrection is a person. The resurrection is Jesus. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the resurrection. I am the one that can make all things possible, that can move the stone away. I am the one that stands before you, right? And this is the one we have to gaze into, right? This is Jesus. And he asks her, do you believe this? She says, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ. I feel like he asks us the same question. Do you believe this? when we're standing in a difficult moment. And continue to read. It says, and he says, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. And Jesus, I love this. This is the shortest verse in the Bible. Verse 35, it says, Jesus wept. Jesus knew what was going to take place. But I love that he still was human. He was fully God and he was fully human. And I love that he wasn't so disconnected to the people's emotions in that moment. And he wept with them. He wept for his friend. He wept for the situation. And then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, but Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days. I love this. He says, take away the stone. Say, move that stone. Move that stone. He's always wanting participation. He's always wanting us to participate in the miracle, to get our hands dirty, to get our hands involved in this miracle. He says, move the stone. And I think many times there's a stone in front of our own heart. If I could speak of myself, if I could speak to us, like, what is he speaking of? If this message is becoming real for us today, it's that thing that we've pushed and tucked down in our heart. It's that thing that's the dream that's died. It's the relationship that's died. It's the word that's died. It's whatever, and we've tucked it away and we've put a rock in front of it. What does the rock represent? Pride. And Jesus steps into our story. He says, move the rock. Move away that thing. What is he saying? I want you to open your heart to the possibility that a powerful miracle is about to happen. Amen. Martha says, it might stink, Lord. He's literally been dead for 4 days. It's going to stink if we move this rock. Are you sure you want to do this? Right? I think sometimes we've buried things so deep in our heart, the trauma, the pain, whatever it is, and we're worried it's going to stink. It's going to spiritually stink. I cannot bring this out into the open. I cannot talk about this. I cannot get prayer for this. I can't get healing for this. I'm just going to bury this thing deep in my heart. And the Lord's like, no, that is what I want to heal. That is what I want to come. And maybe we've buried it, but we are standing before the one who says, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen? And he says to the family and the ones watching, and he says to us, remove the rock. Remove the stone. And I believe he wants to show us his resurrection power. I believe he wants us to know his resurrection power this morning. Amen. He says, take away the stone. Jesus says to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they may believe that you have sent me. And now when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Whew, it's like a Michael Jackson Thriller video. This mummy comes out of the cave. Bum bum bum. Right? He starts doing the Thriller dance out of the cave. He comes, he's fully alive. He's walking out. He says, Lazarus, come forth. It's a powerful moment. And I love this because the same voice that spoke to Lazarus is the same voice that's speaking to me. It's the same voice that's speaking to all of us in our difficult situations and saying, Mike, come forth. Andy, come forth. Dead dreams, come forth. Come alive in Jesus' name. That thing that you've shoved down and you don't want to talk about anymore, Jesus is saying, come alive in the name of Jesus. There you go. Don't break our window. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Right? What is he saying? He's saying, come out of your discouragement. Come out of your doubt. Come out of your disappointment. Come out of your pain. Whatever we've tucked away, whatever we've hidden away, it's time to come out of that and believe in Jesus again. And it says in verse 44, and he who had died, he came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Now, I love this. There's so much in this story. But I love that he asks them first to remove the stone, and then he asks them again, take off the grave clothes. He's always wanting us to participate. He does the miraculous. He does the supernatural. We have to participate with the natural. We have to participate with the little bit that we can. And so he's saying, move that stone away. Humble yourself. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Believe again that he can part your sea. Believe again. Take off the grave clothes. Come out of that season of sorrow. Amen? And it's like, come on, we worship Jesus, the one who defeated death, hell, and the grave. Come on, say Jesus. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And if he defeated death, hell, and the grave, then he literally can do anything. Jesus can do anything. He could do anything. All things are possible to what? To him who believes. And so the Bible says that faith moves the heart of God. And we have to believe. He spoke this very thing to Martha. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. This is who I am. This is my nature. This is my character. This is who I am in your story, Martha. This is who I am in Lazarus's story. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will not die but live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Come on, let's pray. And let me, as you close your eyes, let me pose that question to you. The same God who was with the children of Israel, who parted the Red Sea and made a way of escape. The same God that was with Joshua, the same God that was with David. It was with Gideon, the same God that was with Jesus, our Lord and Savior. The same God that was with the disciples. He's the same God that's here right now. The same God that spoke to Lazarus is the same God that's speaking right now. And he stands in front of us and he says, do you believe? And we're like, well, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the situation. I'm suffering in my heart. I'm suffering in my family. I'm suffering in this and that and whatever. We all have stuff. But he's not asking us for a laundry list of stuff. He's saying, do you believe? Do you still believe? And I think this is where our faith like really hits the road. Like we have to look into the eyes of Jesus. No matter if we're on the mountaintop or we feel like we're in the valley or the desert, you have to lock eyes with Jesus. You have to believe he is who he says he is. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm in a difficult season right now. A lot of things have been happening, but I'm not going to change my theology based on what I'm experiencing. I'm not going to change what Scripture says about Jesus based upon what I'm seeing or not seeing. His nature is good. His character is good. His heart is good. His eyes are good. His eyes are powerful, and they're piercing, and they're strong. And so we remember that, and we come into alignment with this right now. God, we thank you that you're standing in our story, no matter how difficult it looks, no matter how difficult it may seem. Lord, no matter what we've placed over our heart, we thank you, God, that you are the one that says, come forth. You are the one that makes dead things come alive. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're speaking over marriages today. Lord, you're speaking over our children's lives. You're speaking over dreams that have died long ago. Lord, you're speaking over us in the name of Jesus. And all you ask is, do you believe? Do you believe? And so, and I can't answer that for you. I can answer that for me, but all of us have to individually answer that for ourselves. But I just say right here, Lord, I believe. We love you, Lord. We worship you. We honor you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your sweet spirit, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. We love you, Lord. We lean into you. God, I just pray that as we enter into this Easter season, that you would prepare our hearts. Prepare this house. We thank you. We love you. We honor you. And we believe in you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Well, God bless you. I'm just gonna end right there today. Usually I love to do some worship and some prayer and everything. But we're just gonna close it. There's some yummy treats out there. Get some snacks, some treats, fellowship, hang out a little bit. Invite somebody next week for Palm Sunday.